Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca-neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca-neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit ca-neighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Back to another episode of From Complex to Queens. It's Home Run Applesauce's minor league podcast. I'm Lucas Flahos, and I'm joined by Thomas Henderson and no one else today. How's it going, Thomas?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. I wish the weather had stayed warm. We're right back to this lousy smarch bullshit, so.
Yeah.
At least it's not raining, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, like, annoying.
It's too warm to, like, put on pants to go outside, but it's too cold to be comfortable in shorts. It's very middle ground and obnoxious.
And then if you're out late, then it's super cold when it's late, but you're leaving the house and it's sunny.
Yeah. I was out pretty late last night, but thankfully I went somewhere nice, so I had a suit on, so it wasn't a big deal. But if you're going somewhere like normal, you're going to be screwed if you go to a place at 5 and walk out the door at 8.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Give it a couple weeks, hopefully, and things will be nicer. This is the weekly weather update portion of the podcast. Okay, let's move to Promote Extend Trade. And it's only two of us this week, so I thought we'd do a little bit of a deeper dive and spend a little bit more time on this. As I'm sure you, the listener, and Thomas and myself, of course, are aware that the Mets came out with their City Connects this week. First, general impressions, Thomas. What do you think?
I like them. I thought because they were like someone leaked it. I don't remember what the Twitter account was, but it was leaked. I thought they were going to be like more purplish gray than gray from that picture because of the lighting of the photo. But I still like them regardless. I like the font. I like the numbers on the back, I think, are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just like them. And I like that it's like a very New York-ish, like New York. Obviously, it's the City Connects, but I feel like some don't really have anything to do with the city and some do. Like some do more than others, and I think this one is very much like a New York thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are ones out there like the Dodgers and the Phillies that just like look awful and have no real connection to anything. Like the Dodgers were just blue.
They pulled them out of rotation early and got new ones early because they were bad. Like, but
so we're both. I agree. I'm also a big fan of. Because this is very similar to how I dress a lot, where you do like dark colors and then just a little pop of color somewhere. I actually really liked. I know there was some controversy around the whole messaging behind them, but I actually quite liked the Orioles jerseys because they had that same sort of dark color with a pop of interest on the like end of the sleeves. And the Mets are in that same vein where it's gray with the purple accent. So I like that. So on that note, I thought we'd do a slightly expanded promote extend trade. I have here listed the 7 city connects that I think would classify as good. Okay. And I'll note at the top that I have excluded the Nationals' cherry blossoms because those are just goated and like nothing is better than them as far as
generally. Those are the best ones. Yes.
Yeah, it's pointless to include them. They're just too good, and I can't believe they're discontinuing them. It's nonsense. They're so good. So we're going to put those aside because not a fair competition. I've listed 7 others. We're going to do promote 2, extend 2, and trade 3 of them. And I'll also give you a chance at the start, if I've not included any of the ones you particularly like, to add them to the list. So here it goes. Here are the 7 I have. I have the Mets, obviously. Mm-hmm. I have the Rockies, which they have the green and the mountains. I have the Astros with their Space City. I have the Padres with the pastel multicolor deal. The Angels with the sort of surfy thing. I know it's pretty plain, but I think it's a pretty good one. Miami with the bright reds, not my favorite, but everyone else seems to like them. The Orioles, the Orioles, which we just mentioned. So those are the 7: Rockies, Astros, Padres, Angels, Miami, Orioles, and Mets. Any good one or any ones that you like in particular that you think belong in this discussion here?
I am a fan of the Red Sox ones because I think they're very specific to the city in a way that people from Boston really get it. And that's what they're for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally one of their biggest events of the year, and it's based all around that. That's really cool. And I like that it's completely different than a Red Sox uniform. Like, it's yellow and all that. I think that's cool. But I wouldn't put it. I don't think I'd put them. I'd probably put them over the Astros. I like the Astros one a little less than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's real. The ones that you mentioned are pretty much the ones I like the most. Okay. I think.
So I actually kind of hate the yellow. Oh,
the White Sox ones I like too. I like the White Sox ones.
I don't know the White Sox ones off the top of my head. How did I miss them? Let's see. Okay, yeah, those are pretty good. All right, sure. So we're gonna throw in the Red Sox and the White Sox. That gives us an even 9. So 3 in each category: promote 3, extend 3, trade 3. Let's start with the trades. Let's work bottom up here. So which 3 are you dumping out of our set of 9?
So I think the Astros for me, because I think it's kind of the dark blue and the orange don't really pop for me the way that it's kind of hard to like see it a little when they're playing in them. That's really my only concern. And like Space City's it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. I understand why it is that, but it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did you say? You said,
I will send you the list.
Can you send them to me
so the listeners don't have to listen to me say this list 17 times?
Because I'm gonna keep forgetting who you listed.
Yep. So you're dumping the Astros.
I got it.
First.
Astros first. Oh, this is a tough one. So I like the Angels ones more than I think most people, mm-hmm. but I think it's just like a normal Angels jersey.
Stephen A. Smith, but yes, okay.
It's a little too close to their regular uniform that I'm like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like,
I totally agree with you, and I think they were helped massively by like the marketing around them. Like Noah Syndergaard with a surfboard wearing the Angels uniform was like, that's good, but the uniform on its own, eh.
I like the uniform, but it's like, that could just be their normal uniform. Like, if next year they took away their normal white, all-white uniform with Angels on it and then put that as their home, it'd be, okay, mm-hmm. it'd be almost the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fair.
I think that's – and I think if I have to trade one more,
mm-hmm.
even though I like it, I think it might be Baltimore's out of this list.
Okay.
Because, like, honestly, so I saw the Mets in Camden last year. And I did not like this. I did not like it at all when they first came out. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's really boring. I saw people wearing it, and it looks so much nicer in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the actual part of the sleeve that has the color on it, it's bigger than you think. It's mm-hmm. it's noticeable. And it's, like, people were wearing it. It was hot. So people were wearing it, like, very unbuttoned, and you could see inside of it. And inside of it is all that, too. Yep. But the thing is, you don't see that on the field. Like, Cedric Mullins has it buttoned all the way up, so it's hard to see all that. Like, mm-hmm. the cool parts are inside, where the coolest parts that are inside. So
yeah, I think that's super fair. And as much as I said I like the Orioles City Connects, I 100% agree that they needed to. They should have just made the cuffs bigger. And also I don't know how you do this with the Baltimore lettering, but I wonder if you could have done like the lining where the buttons are in the same sort of pattern. This was so close to being like a really good one, and they just missed it, I think.
Yes. I think they just missed it compared to the other ones that we put, because there's a few on here that are really.
I also agree with everything you said about the Angels. That was going to be one of my trades. And because you added it, I'm going to trade the Red Sox as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I understand your reasoning, and the messaging is certainly nice, but I just hate that yellow. I think yellow is just an awful color, frankly. Like, not a good look, in my opinion. I also don't get why the Red Sox are yellow, of all things. I'm sure some Bostonian is going to be like, Boston Tea Party or some shit, and I just
but that's the point to me, you know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
Like, if someone is like, why are the Mets wearing purple, me who took the 7 train to see the Mets all the time would be like, of course they're purple, you know? Like, I see purple every time I go to see the Mets. It's in my head synonymous, but I understand why it's not for someone who is like a Mets fan who even lives upstate or New Jersey or something, who would take the Long Island or the Jersey Transit in or something. So it's hyper specific, and it's probably hyper specific to a fault. You know?
Yep, that makes sense. I get it. I think I'd be more aligned if I just did, if I just didn't hate yellow so much.
Yeah, that's
as
fair.
A color.
That's fair.
Okay. What are we extending? So middle tier here, middle three.
I'm looking at the Rockies one right now because I might extend. I might put them in extend instead of promote.
I will say first, I was going to trade this uniform until you added the Red Sox. I don't like the Marlins one. I think it's kind of garish. Did I write them down as the Miami Marlins? Yes, I did write them as the Miami Marlins. Oops. Again, maybe it's there's some hyper-specific thing, but I feel like they could have leaned more into the Cuban culture side of things, as opposed to just a red jersey with pinstripes. Like, I don't quite get it. So that one's a middle tier one for me.
I think the Rockies are a middle tier one for me because they changed the pants. Like, they wear white pants with them now, and it kind of like cuts a little bit of when they wore the full green. I thought it was like it was cool because it was like the mountains and the mountains go through the entire uniform onto the socks, and then it's kind of a different look. But then with just the white pants, they just kind of cut off like a minor league jersey almost, which I still like them. They're still better than a lot of the ones that came out, because a lot of the ones are just boring. Or bad. But like, I think changing to white pants, like in the opposite form, the Mariners ones look way better with white pants than the black pants. But I don't think they needed to change the
making the decision on the pants on these uniforms, because it seems like they always make the wrong ones.
I mean, the Mets were almost, I don't know if you read, I think it was in the Athletic article, but they almost had dark pants with them, and they scrapped it, and they chose white, like an off-white-ish. So
the off-white is always a good choice, but I agree, Rockies with white pants, much worse than the original green. I would also put them middle tier.
It feels like there's something missing to it, almost.
I mean, it really made a lot of, like, the imagery carried through really nicely before. So, yeah, I'm with you. They're middle tier. Who are your other two?
My other two are the both socks, red
both
and white.
Both socks? Okay.
Yeah, because I think they're good, but I think the other ones are better. Like, the next three that are obviously the Mets, the Marlins, and the Padres. I think the Padres are the second best, probably.
Okay. My middle tier here, I said Miami, I agreed with you on the Rockies. I'm going to put the White Sox here as well. I missed those, admittedly, in my first search. They're good, but I do not like them as much as my top three.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, you already said Padres, Marlins, Mets. We talked about the Mets. We like them. The Padres one kind of speaks to it. It speaks for itself, right? It's just so much fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's very fun.
Like, you look like...
The hat's great, too.
And somehow it feels both hyper specific, but also I think everyone gets it as like, that's San Diego. It makes sense. Yeah. What do you like about the Marlins one? Because
I literally like how it looks.
Okay.
I love the red. I just love how vibrant it is compared to, because their uniforms are so bad.
Yes. Everything about that organization.
It's just, I love the Miami font, and I like how it's like a blue, like a tealish blue and a red. I think those two go together really well. It also feels Miami in a sense where, like, wearing it out in Miami would make a lot of sense. Like, because it's, like, vibrant and colorful. Like, the city is vibrant and colorful. Like, and I think one of the big issues with the Miami Marlins, obviously they have issues on the field and stuff, but their look and their feel, it feels very bland for a place that is the opposite.
Yes. I mean, like, the home run statue was great. Why did they ditch that? Like, look, if you put that thing in almost any other major league stadium, be like, this is awful. But I really thought it worked in Miami. I really was very disappointed when the new ownership group came in and got rid of it. Very lame. Like, it's too corporate and boring.
Yeah. And, like, the Miami Marlins are wearing, like, black all the time. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's like the opposite of what the vibe of the, I've never been to Miami, but the vibe of the city feels very, like, vibrant and out there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they just stuck with the teal, because I thought the Florida Marlins uniforms,
when
we were kids, were so nice.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, the old, I mean, I remember Dan Ugla and who else? I mean, Hanley Ramirez.
Like, Hanley Ramirez and who Miggy, young Miggy on those teams.
I don't remember Miggy ever on the Marlins. That was before I started watching, but... I feel like there were a couple other Jeremy Heredia. That's the guy I was trying to pull up, and
even like Jeff Conine and shit. Like, that was before your time too. But
Cody Ross. Am I thinking Cody Ross as a Marlin as well? Like, these are the names.
I think he was on the Marlins.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure.
And like that, the Marlins team that beat the Yankees in the World Series. Like, so it's such a good look, and then they just never found it again when they just didn't have to leave it. They could have just put. They just kind of made the F on the hat an M and called it a day. But no, they had to change the whole look, and they never found
it. Teal is such a, like, no other – it fits Florida really well, and no other teams are doing teal as far – I mean, the Diamondbacks are now, and I actually really love the teal on their uniforms. Total aside, because it's not City Connects, but I feel like the Diamondbacks uniforms got a lot of hate, and I actually really like almost all of them. The new dots. Yeah, I mean – I thought they were much more modern and interesting than a lot of other teams. So I get it. You like the look of the Marlins uniform. Very fair that it's a good divergence from the rest of their stuff. My top three, I'm Mets, obviously. Padres, again, they're excellent. I have the Astros up here. I really, really like the Astros. Like, the subtlety of it is really good. Mm-hmm. It looks like a night sky with a rocket flying through it, basically, to me. I'm also a junkie for anything NASA and space related, so this is really catering to me. Like,
the hat is really good. The Astros
so
hat.
Good.
Yes. That hat is, I feel like, it's funny. I feel like a lot of the City Connects didn't nail the jersey, but the hats are really nice. Mm-hmm. Like, almost across the board, the hats are good. Which is obviously another good thing, because, like, the Mets hat is incredible. I think it might be the best City Connect hat. The Queensboro Bridge on it. Like, and it's, like, a little purple. Like, that's perfect. But
are they still making the Astros hat that has the lunar lander on it? I don't know. I know that wasn't, like, the one they wore on the field, but there was a version of the hat that had Space City with the Apollo lander on the side of the hat, which I thought was sick. I understand that it's not maybe the most visually interesting one, but that really catered to my personal, like, space age fanboyism. So
makes sense.
The Astros
one.
I feel like there are definitely a lot of these that have missed the mark, but I also feel like they've gotten a little better over time generally. Like, there are definitely still some misses, but I feel like they're doing, like, every year there's more hits than the previous year.
I'm curious. The next one, I think, is the Cardinals. I don't know what that's going to look like.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah. They've been the same, almost the same exact uniform for, like, 100 years. Like,
do with the Cardinals?
I have no idea, but.
Don't they already, and they already have the arch on their uniform, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, where is it? You can make it baby blue, but then that's just the alternate.
I like their baby blue uniforms, actually. Yeah, make it about having the quote-unquote best fans in baseball. That'll go real well there. Yes, this was a long-winded way of saying that we really like the Mets uniforms. They're up there with, I mean, nothing will top the Nats ones. I think I agree with you that the Padres are better. For me, they're right there after those two, though.
Yeah, I really like them.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get I was on the store, and the only jersey options I saw were Alonso and Lindor, and I don't want either of those, so I'm hoping I'll be able to find, like, a Nimmo or even the Senga one when I go to the park.
There's a ton more at the park.
I bet.
There's, because someone, one of the accounts had a video, and there was mm-hmm. Diaz in the park, there was Nimmo in the park, there was nice. Beatty, nice. There was Marte one, so I think you pretty much have your pick at the stadium. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be plenty. I don't know if the Senga one with the Japanese lettering was on it, but mm-hmm. Was there, I mean, but because that was in the team store in the city. But yeah,
I did get one of the t-shirts because I thought the t-shirt designs were good. And then, of course, the hat with the bridge was very good.
Oh, the bridge hat's so good.
Excellent. Added to my collection with the I got the athlete logos Ghost Fork Senga hat last year.
Oh, did you?
I really like it's so funny. I love it. Tina still, because I've been gradually getting Tina into baseball. She still says it's not Ghost in reference to that ad they did last year with Senga and Ito on the call center. So hopefully he comes back soon in the shoulder. He seems to be progressing, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, he put on Instagram that he feels pretty good and he was throwing a bullpen.
You know, so I saw he took the team out to dinner, and yep. You know, I'm a bit of a foodie, so that's all well and good, but I really want to know where he went.
Where?
Yeah, like I got where
because it has to be good.
Yeah, where did you go? I just want to know. Looking for Rex, you know? Please. Okay. So that's the fun nonsense part of the show. Let's take a little break, then we'll come back and do our draft updates and talk through some of the more compelling performances of the week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. Okay, let's do draft updates quickly. As usual, I'm going to stop making the joke. I don't have a lot to talk about because nothing has changed. Michael Massey pitched yesterday, 3 innings, 5 runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. His season ERA is up to 3.33. Really, you know, has not gone well for him. None of the messaging here has really changed, right? The stuff still flashes, but isn't as electric. He's still not getting deep into games. The command still wavers. No idea how much of this is the injury. No idea how much of it is getting stretched out. But yeah, just not looking great here overall for Massey. And I'm, you know, really fading where my initial optimism. Caldwell didn't see anything particularly interesting on this front. Still don't have his stats. No good scout callouts that I saw this week. I will note, however, that a new list dropped. Keith Law at The Athletic published his draft top 50, and he had Caldwell 12th overall. Didn't have much new to say there, except, you know, kind of commenting on his height. Keith Law, of course, is very short, and so is Slade Caldwell. He's listed at like 5'5.5", so even shorter than Jet Williams. We also, how to say this politely, Keith Law is a less trusted source than some of the other lists we would look at throughout the year, whether they're from BP or BA or Fangraphs. So take that ranking with a grain of salt. But I mean, that said, he certainly does talk to scouts, and there's obviously some enthusiasm here if he feels confident enough to shove him up at 12th overall. So I forgot to mention Massey was 50th on that same list, probably mostly as a courtesy to where he was preseason. I feel like most places are fading him down the list pretty significantly.
Massey feels like someone that a very forward pitching organization takes in like the middle of the third or fourth, maybe fifth. And they're like, oh, wow, he's good now because we fixed it. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, that might be the Mets.
I know. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that because of how they've been developing arms this year.
Look, I mean, if Massey is the second, I don't know how I haven't dug deep enough into the second round names because it's too early to start doing that.
Frankly. Oh, yeah, it's way too early for that.
But I wouldn't hate it in a vacuum, I don't think. Like, the Mets have demonstrated an ability to do this. That makes me interested. That said, my one hesitation with that is that this isn't an arm coming from a bad school. This isn't Virginia Tech arm. This isn't a Florida arm. I mean, bad quote unquote school, bad pitching development school. You're not going to pick up the easy gains that you get with Scott or Vassell or Sproat because their college coaches were telling them to throw shitty fastballs down in the zone. Wake Forest is good at this, and they're not. If he's not maximized there, you know, you got to think a little bit deeper about why that might be. But yeah, there's certainly some stuff here to look at. I just think it might be a reliever in the end, and meh. So
yeah, that's tough so early.
What'd your guys do this week?
Oh, so Cam Caminiti pitched once. Remember how last week we were like, oh, he gave up 3 runs. Interesting. Well. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
He pitched 5 innings, gave up 0 hits, 0 runs, 1 walk, 13 strikeouts. So
okay.
He's fine.
Only 5 innings. Well, I guess he got bored. Or maybe the coach decided to take mercy on the other team.
Yeah, because it was 6-1, so they were probably just like, whatever, you could come out now. They're definitely not hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to the point where it's towards the end of the season, so they might want to manage him for playoff and
that's
states
fair.
And stuff like that. So
that's probably the actual answer.
Like, because now his season ERA is 0.91. So he's very good. Mm-hmm. And Kalen Culpepper had almost the exact same week this week. He's had 6 hits again, not many extra base hits again, didn't really walk or strike out. He's just kind of chugging along as making a case to be a back end of the first round type of guy. He probably could have made it higher if he started hitting for more power, hitting or walking more or whatever, but he's just not doing that, so I could see him going around where the Mets pick just because he hasn't, I don't want to say he's plateaued, but he's just kind of chugging along. You know, he's not, I wouldn't call his performances bad, but he's not tearing the cover off the ball either. Like, he's hitting 319. It's fine. But you would like to see a little more if you're going to take someone early in the first, but later in the first, it's a college bat who moved positions in the middle of the year. Maybe you see something I don't think he'll be too over slot. So that could be another reason why he's taken there. But yeah.
So I have a question for you on this front, because listening to some of the BA podcasts, one of the ideas I hear them talk about pretty frequently is that there's a distinct lack of college shortstops in this class. And there certainly are. I'm wondering if that winds up inflating where Culpepper gets picked, because he's one of the few, you know, seemingly capable defenders at short who in college, who isn't a total zero with the bat. Mm-hmm. And also B, whether that's stupid, because why are you drafting for positional need in a baseball draft? Like,
I mean, some teams definitely do, as we see sometimes, A's. But like most teams, I feel like just don't care about that stuff. Like, it might be a thing where if it's late in the first round and you're like, this guy could play shortstop, then that's kind of having a guy who could play shortstop's more valuable than a guy who could play second or third base. That's just the name of the game. But also, I do wonder if a team like the Mets, who have Francisco Lindor ensconced at shortstop for the next decade, don't really care about that, you know, because it doesn't matter if he can stick there, because, I mean, by the time Culpepper comes up, even if he's in college, it's 2-3 years and Lindor's not going anywhere unless he's hurt, you know.
Right.
So it almost, if a team does really care about that, maybe a team like the Mets, who have a guy there, care less about it. But also, I wouldn't draft for need in college. And I don't want to draft for need in basically any draft unless it's a quarterback. No. Like, if we're talking about football, but
that's a whole different thing, right? And
yeah,
you know, if you're but then you have to think, like, are you screwing yourself because your quarterback? Yeah,
it's complicated even then, because you take a quarterback who's not good too early, and then it sets you back 3 years anyway. So drafting for need, I feel like, is something that, unless the need is pressing and the guy and there's two equal prospects, but then it's hard, because then how do you even know if they're equal? Like, it's just draft the best player available and figure it out. If the guy can only play shortstop right now, then you can move him. Like, Jet Williams was a shortstop. It's not going to matter. Acuna, they traded for him. He's a shortstop. It's not going to matter. Just draft the best guy you can. And at 20, it might be him with how the money works. So.
Yeah, and also, who knows what the defense looks like in pro ball, given, you know, good one thing to look good at short in college, but, you know. I will note here, and I brought up this idea of him moving up the board as a shortstop, both because of the BA podcast, but also because Law's List somehow has him at 15.
Like, it's like a very scout-heavy look, I feel, like him. Because he's got, like, the good swing, and he looks good playing short and all that stuff, but... He's not damaging the ball a ton. Obviously, I don't have damage numbers for Kansas State baseball, but he's
slacking here.
he just doesn't. That's not really his game, you know. A team could get him to that game, but that's work to do with a college bat. So
he feels like someone where I wouldn't hate winding up with him. I don't think that's a bad outcome, but I'd almost be happy to see him go before the Mets because I think there are better players, and that means one of them is slipping down to the Mets. So
I also think it's much more of a floor play than an upside play as it is right now.
Yeah. I don't think that's really what the Astros have done. Typically, like they swing for the fences, and I be that both literally and figuratively with their top of the round draft picks. Caminiti checks in at 25th on Law's List, which
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it feels more. I've seen him between like 15 and 25, so that lines up.
I think it would be much higher without the strong college commit, but that's a tough one.
You're gonna have to pay him a ton of money, and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but with the Mets getting screwed. Not screwed, like, those are the rules. They just lost out on the lottery. Like, they're going to have a lot less money this year, which sucks, but, you know.
But it also takes away from what they could do in the draft. Like, it's just the fact of the matter.
Yep. Okay, so that's the draft side of things. Let's run through some of the interesting minor league performances of this week. Spoiler alert for what Steve will write, but Mark Vientos is going to be the hitter of the week. He's killing the ball in AAA again. He also has a ground ball rate that was like almost 60% last time I checked.
Is it really that high?
Dave sent me the number, like Dave Capobianco posted it on Twitter like a couple days ago, and I've not taken the time to go check because I don't care enough about Mark Vientos to go check.
It's also not going to change much from a few days.
No, of course. I mean, it was in the high 50s, as I recall, which is exactly what he's done there forever. In the last week, he batted 462, 548, 692 with a BABIP of 540, an ISO of 231. He hit only one homer, one double, one triple. So just a load of singles because he hit the ball on the ground. To his credit, he walked as much as he struck out, 16% of the time for both. So I mean, that's something, but nothing has changed here as far as I can tell.
yeah, we're going to see him in the big leagues at some point.
We will.
Because
it also...
one of Wendell or Joey Short or Zach Short's going to get hurt.
Right. Yeah.
One of them's going to get hurt or just underperform enough where they get cut. And then Wendell, and then Vientos gets another shot. But I don't think it's going to be in much of a... it's just not really a good place for him to play unless they platoon him with Beatty. And I don't, they're not really doing that with Beatty. So
no, nor should they, as far as I can tell. I mean, it this is less than ideal for the Mets, certainly. We don't think Vientos is particularly good, but also this sucks for him because he very clearly has nothing left to prove or learn at AAA. He needs a chance to sink or swim in the majors. The Mets are too good to give him that chance, frankly. Like, they're not going to win every game like they did the last week, basically, until the Dodgers beat the shit out of them today. But they're going to be a legitimate, you know, playoff contender, and you can't be trotting out Mark Vientos for 200 at-bats on a playoff contender like that. That doesn't work, so...
And there's not even really a spot for him regardless.
No.
The spot for him is the bench and like being and playing like once a week, which is also very tough for him, where it's not really a good space for him to figure out what, because you can't DH him because of JD Martinez, but also you couldn't DH him these last few weeks because DJ Stewart is like their best, is like tearing the cover off the ball legitimately. You know what I mean? Like, he looks fine. Like, you can't bench DJ Stewart. And then if you're going to put, they haven't, like, DJ Stewart's been playing most of the time because they're facing mostly righties. And then when they face the off lefty, it's just like he's, if Vientos would be on the roster for Short, how much is he even going to play?
Yeah.
Like, he probably would have played instead of Wendell the last two games, but how many at-bats would he have? Like, Zach Short never plays. And I get that Zach Short's not a prospect and Vientos still is, but it's still, like, there's no, with Beatty playing well and Beatty's defense looking, giving him such a floor that even against a lefty, I don't want to take him out of the lineup because he looks like a legitimately good defender now. It's there's no place for him here. It's just he got lapped by Beatty 2 years ago, and that's kind of it.
It's really in the Mets' best interest, and also it's in their best interest both from a roster construction standpoint and also because you want to do right by your players.
You do.
They got to find a place to trade him. And I don't know if that's – I mean, the White Sox have a lot of first-base DH types. They're playing Gavin Sheets in the outfield. But, like, they're starting third base. Their third base situation is a platoon of Braden Shumake and Lenin Sosa. Maybe there's some room there. The Marlins are starting Brian De La Cruz at DH with Nick Gordon, Jesus Sanchez, Otto Lopez, and Avisail Garcia playing the outfield. Yeah. There's got to be room for him there. What the hell's going on in Oakland? They're giving Tyler Nevin a shot, and he's probably a better player. I mean, a little bit harder in Oakland because they've got Nevin and Noda and who's their DH? Why can't I?
Brett Rooker.
Rooker's in the outfield. Nevin's their DH. They're paying Abraham Toro at third.
Rooker's playing outfield. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I guess the Angels are probably pretty bad. I mean, the Angels are giving it
bats. And they just lost Rendon, so.
Yep. And they're giving it bats. Oh my God. Oh Lord. Oh no. Do you know who's, I'm looking at roster resource. Who is now the Angels starting third baseman?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's Miguel Sano.
Third baseman.
In the year of our Lord 2024.
When is the last time he's been a third baseman?
Never is the answer to that.
In the minors, probably. Yeah, but.
The last time he played third base was in 2021, and he played 9 games there for the Twins.
Yeah, so that's crazy. I didn't realize he was their third baseman, because I know he was playing, but I didn't know where, to be honest with you.
I mean, come on, the Angels are going to suck. Has Matt Moore been good? Has Carlos Estevez been good? Like, trying to find a reliever you could...
I could absolutely see him, Vientos, being part of a reliever trade, just because of the way the roster set up, and I really wish he could play shortstop. Like, if you could kind of, because the reason why I like Mauricio more than him a little bit is because if Mauricio was healthy, then he's just the Zach Short of this roster, you know?
Sure.
Where he's playing, he's not playing, but he's like on the roster to be the backup shortstop, third base, second baseman. He pinch runs. He does little things all over the field that it's like he's not the best hitter in the world, but there's something that he hit a little bit in the majors already. But Vientos, he's so his best defensive position is taken by Pete Alonso.
Yep.
His other position is taken by Beatty, and he's worse at it than Beatty. So it's just and DH is JD Martinez. And if it wasn't JD Martinez, then you can't take in a world where JD Martinez never signed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bench DJ Stewart because he's been too good. So what do you do? Like, what do you even do?
DJ Stewart's been totally fine. Like, yeah, he's been better than I thought he'd be, honestly. There are places you can set, like, there are bad teams that can and should give a player like Mark Vientos a shot. And when the Mets go shopping for some depth pieces at the deadline, I hope that they're able to parlay Vientos into something more useful to the major league roster and that he gets a chance to go prove if he can stick at the major league level. Because he's earned that. Like, that's the bottom line.
He has for sure. He definitely deserves to be in the majors. I just don't know where you fit him on the roster without...
Yeah.
Just stunting his growth at that point, because then he's not playing, so it don't matter.
Right. I mean, he deserves a chance to be a starter, and it's just the timelines just never worked out for the Mets to give him that opportunity. This has been a very depressing conversation, given that we just said he's going to be the hitter of the week. He had a very nice week. We know he can kill AAA. If you're going to go to a Syracuse game, you'll probably see him hit a ball really hard with a launch angle of, like, -2 degrees. Maybe he'll hit a home run instead. Not a whole lot else going on offensively in the system. Jesus Baez is still hitting a bit. Jet Williams has missed a couple games through the last week, oddly, but it has seen his offense improve. Do you have any concerns about Jet Williams at this point?
I don't have concerns. I think I'm just more... I think I'm more comfortable saying we won't see him for a little bit longer. I'm not concerned because he's still 20 at Double A, but I think the dream of Jet Williams September call-ups might be dead, but that's probably fine. I don't really care.
for those who haven't looked, he's hitting 171, 356, 286. That's only 3% worse than league average in Double A this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not great performance. Double A is also not hitting in general, like you just alluded to, because that's crazy. But it's just if he doesn't come up this year, who cares? There's plenty of other people who are going to come up. When Gilbert comes back and is from his hamstring and starts playing again, he'll be fine. Acuna is probably going to come up this year, so it's hard for me to get mad that Williams is not going to come up this year. Maybe it pushes it back a little bit, a few months into the next year, and then maybe we could talk about it then. But it's only a few months of month of struggling. Who cares?
Well, let me circle back to that in a moment. But I mean, the thing I was potentially concerned about with Williams in Double A would be the strikeouts, because you pointed this out late last year. He has a bit of a hole up in the zone. Maybe that's something that could be exploited. He struck out a lot in the 6 games he got at Double A last year. He's striking out 11% of the time. He's walking more than he's striking out. Like,
it is what it is.
This feels like adjustment period rather than, oh shit, we were wrong. Like, this is okay. He's a 20-year-old adjusting to Double A. I think he'll make it. You just alluded to Luis Angel Acuna coming up. He's been awful.
He's been better recently.
He
started really bad, and he had like a really good week recently, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, he had 286 this week. I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, he's been better recently, but he was hitting like under 100 at some point, I think.
Okay.
Like, the start of his season was like laughably bad. He was just doing nothing. But he's been hitting a little better as the season has gone on. I think it was just a slump that looks a lot worse than
still not it is. Impacting the ball much, which is mildly concerning, but maybe that's just a weather thing. Not the strikeouts are up, but not egregiously so. So probably not too much to wring our hands over there. That's the offensive side of things. Drew Gilbert's still out. Rylan Thomas is doing some interesting things at AA. My cheese ball, Matt Rudick is not doing interesting things at AA. He's striking out a million times. I hope the shoulder isn't permanently fucked, but it might be.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that with the shoulder.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean,
he was selling out for power like that, and then.
I don't know how he heard it in the first place, but you just said it. He adjusted to get more power. It was still fringy power, and now his shoulder's screwed. Like, that's not tough. So
that's a tough combination of things for him.
On the pitching side, this organization continues to do good pitching things. Christian Scott has had his worst start of the year. He gave up 2 homers. He also struck out 7 and walked 2 in 5 1/3. And the 2 homers.
And that stadium, I'm pretty sure, is very small.
Yep, it's a. This is in Charlotte for the which is the White Sox AAA affiliate. Absolute bandbox. One of the home runs, I watched the video. I think one of them was like a legit, and then the other one was a pop up that got out. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Danny Mendick took him yard.
Yeah, I think Mendick was the fake one.
I think it was too, if I'm remembering them correctly.
Homers are going to be the thing to watch with Scott, given that he's a fastball first pitcher. I think I brought up Joe Ryan as like a similar archetype. Other good performances this week, both Brandon Sproat and Blade Tidwell made 2 starts this week. Blade struck out 13 over 9 innings, walked 4, which is more than you want, but the strikeout stuff seems to be there. Sproat struck out 7 in 7 innings, also walked 3. I think Blade was probably the best pitcher in the system this week. Have you watched any of his stuff this year? I was trying to find some time to late last week to watch through a couple of his starts, but I did not get a chance.
I watched him this week. It's the stuff's a little better. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a reliever, but
yeah,
I think that if he just becomes like Ottavino-ish and just throws his other stuff and not his fat, it's fine. I mean, you can figure it out.
I mean, I'd love if he's like a with the way pitching has changed, you know. I'm surprised we haven't seen more relievers developed in the Reed Garrett mold, where you're not a starter, but you're still going to get 6 outs out of the bullpen, yeah. And maybe that's what Tidwell is. If he does that really effectively, it's not an elite piece, but it's a nice little find.
Yeah. The thing that I don't understand about pitching development now is how long it takes teams to do that with players. Like,
yes.
Like, what? I don't know how old he is off the top of my head.
23.
If he's 23 and you put him in the bullpen next week, he could be in the majors this year. Like, I just don't know. He's not 18. You know, so I feel like teams kind of try to hold it, because obviously I know, I get it. Starters are 10 times more valuable than a middle reliever, even a bad starter, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Like your fifth starter being under team control is so much better. But I think sometimes when there's, especially in your, I can't believe I'm going to say this, when you're in a pitching heavy system like the Mets are, like you could afford
crazy words.
You could afford to put Tidwell in the pen now, because. Mm-hmm. Is he even in the top 10 of the pitching depth chart?
Do you mean like a maybe top 10 like, pitching prospect or top 10?
No,
like,
I'm talking about
the major league depth chart.
Like, we're talking about the 5 major league starters.
Let's
I don't even think he might make 10, but you know what I mean? Like, if he's in the pen and you need another pen arm, which the Mets haven't needed so far, like, I don't know. I don't understand the hesitancy, why it takes teams so long.
He might be because Budo's in the rotation now.
Yeah.
Scott, Vassell, Hamill, I'd all have ahead of him. What's Stewart been up to? That's someone we haven't checked in on in a while.
He had a good start the last time I recapped the minor league
Not
stuff.
Not Tyler so. Black. I typed Tyler and hit enter, and Fangraphs took me to Tyler Black instead. Love Tyler Black. Stewart's still not missing strikeouts. He's not missing strikeouts. He's not missing bats in Double A. So
he had like I think 6 strikeouts in 5 innings the last time I recapped.
That's something. I think Tidwell might be top 10, but that's with like 3 guys. That's with I forgot about Lucchese, but that's
and then Peterson's coming back. Like
yeah, McGill, Peterson, and Senga are all conceivably coming back at some point this year. So yeah, to your point. If you need Blade Tidwell to make an extended series of starts for the team, you're fucked already. So
something went severely wrong with your depth chart. And I'm not, and of course, there's nothing wrong with also converting them back. Like the Braves are doing that to Reynaldo Lopez, and it's been fine. Yep. Like in modern baseball, a starter goes 5-6 innings anyway. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hicks has been like good in San Francisco somehow. Like
yeah, for now.
But still, like, that's 30 innings of – that's 30 more innings, and I thought he was going to be good as a starter. I thought he was going to
– pretty fair.
Like, I thought I made fun of it. I was like, that's a silly thing to do when you could just sign another starter, but it's been working for them, and it works for Atlanta, and I made fun of them with that Reynaldo Lopez thing. Like, you could just convert the guy back. It's not like – it's not – he's not stuck in the bullpen for eternity. Seth Lugo converted back. I mean, it's fine. Yeah.
He was good until the Orioles – lit his tits up today, which you know, they're the Orioles. So,
but he's been good and really good in Kansas City. So I don't know. I just feel like teams are a little too hesitant to do that and then fast track guys because.
I agree. Like, there's no reason you should be doing this with like Brandon Schroeder or Nolan McLean yet. But Blade Tidwell, we should be putting him in the bullpen and seeing what led it. And to their credit, he did one of his appearances has been in relief. I wonder if that was like just following an opener or something. But
it was Max Kranick's rehab start.
That makes sense. But maybe that's just getting him exposure to like working behind someone, you know?
Yeah, he followed Kranick after his start because Kranick had like it was like two innings or something.
We also didn't count Kranick when we were thinking about the depth chart. I think healthy Kranick is probably ahead of Tidwell as well.
He was in contention to make the team out of camp before he pulled his hamstring. Like, he was actually in that mix, so.
They
have a ton of starting pitching. And
I'm very on board with, you know, put him in the bullpen and let it eat.
Yeah. I think it could be interesting. I think it could be an interesting bullpen, or more so than a starter.
You let him air it out. Because we talk about the type of pitchers who have stuff that works in the bullpen. Tyler Stewart is not that. Blade Tidwell is, like, the platonic ideal of guy whose stuff should be better in a bullpen role.
There was one start he had last year. I think it was last year where he was throwing his like slider sweeper thing. Like dot every time. And he would throw his fastball. It's not even close. I'm like, it's so backwards to my brain. Like, you know what I mean? He would throw it. It would be like a 2-0 count slider corner, but then he would throw his fastball would be like at the guy's neck. And I'm like, what is going on? It was such a weird thing to watch. Cause I think it's a legitimately solid pitch, but the fastball is just not there for a starter. I think.
No, he's always going to be homer prone and walk prone because of it. So, you know, put him in the bullpen and we can see him in August when the Mets cycle through guys. The only other name, what's Nate? Let's do a quick check-in since we're talking about bullpen arms. Nate Lavender, he's walked seven guys in seven innings. Okay, maybe not pounding the table for a Nate Lavender promotion. Never mind.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's also the automated strike zone stuff hurting him.
That's a really good call, actually. I'd forgotten about that. So
because he's a weirdo guy on the mound and that ball looks weird, so I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of things are getting overturned.
He did walk three in one outing. That's blowing up things a little bit. So, yeah, I'm not concerned there.
No, I mean, they should call him up at some point soon.
Yes. Yes. I was surprised they didn't give him I would have given him a look when Raley went down because you probably want another lefty. I would have pulled him up. Also, like, we've seen Grant Hartwig a bit. Like, let's see someone else, I guess. But it's fine. He'll get up here at some point.
But also, Hartwig's already going to get sent back down for Sean Reed Foley. So,
yeah, that's true.
Like, I think Hartwig was literally if this happens today and we get blown out.
Didn't they already have him around because he had been up and optioned?
Hartwig?
Or am I misremembering?
Hartwig was there already, yes. And
because they called Sean him Reed up. Foley,
and then Reed Foley met them in LA because he's going to be activated for the Giants game tomorrow.
Right. Because I think they had called Hartwig up. Then optioned him. Then Raley got hurt. They pulled Hartwig back. Now they're going to option him again for Sean Reed Foley when they go to – they're going to San Diego, you said?
San Francisco.
San Francisco, right. Oh, yeah. The machinations of the Major League roster.
And because I think he was already there, and you're not going to fly Nate Lavender across the country to, like, maybe pitch today. Like, you're going to give Sean Reed Foley the chance first because he's probably not good, but – you have to give him the chance first because of the way the rosters work.
Yep. Okay. No, that actually lines up. All right. So generally, you know, more positive things from the Mets system. Still hoping to see the hitters break out a little bit, but I'm sure we'll see that as we move into the summer months. Until then, you can listen to or subscribe to all the Home Run Applesauce podcasts through Apple Podcasts. I also encourage you to rate and review. You can also find us on Spotify, wherever you listen to your other podcasts. Visit our Patreon for bonus episodes. That helps directly support us and all the other members of the Home Run Applesauce Network. I think we did a bonus pod last week. I'm not 100% sure, but we have been doing them more consistently, as we promised this year. So hopefully we'll keep that rolling as the season goes along. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email a show at fromcomplextoqueens@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. Steve is at Steve Sipa. I am at ElfLahos343. Ken is at KenLavin91. And Thomas is at SagMetsSCN. Until next week, love the Mets. Love the Mets.